Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so very much for joining us live here on CUTV News Radio. This is Jim Masters. It is noon Eastern here at the CUTV News Broadcast Center, and it is 9 a.m. Pacific, and we thank you for making us a part of your day. It's always a pleasure to have you with us today. We are continuing our conversation with chronic fatigue syndrome expert Becky Butcher, who is located in Elgin, Illinois. She's been chatting with us on numerous occasions, and she really has wanted to share her personal story with us in such an intimate and inspirational and empowering way. She's been sharing her experiences. She's been experiencing her day-to-day, even like today where she is in the Chicago area. It's rainy, it's misty, it's a gray day, and that physically affects her as well. So while the rest of us would go, you know, on with our day and just grab an umbrella or complain about, you know, rainy weather, with somebody that is experiencing the chronic fatigue syndrome that our expert Becky Butcher experiences on a daily basis, even weather changes can make a significant difference in how one feels that day. According to recent studies, as we've mentioned, as many as 2.5 million people in the United States suffer from chronic fatigue syndrome. It is a devastating multi-system disease that causes dysfunction of the neurological, immune, endocrine, and metabolic systems. Now, chronic fatigue syndrome affects adults and children regardless of race, income level, geographical area. It doesn't matter. It's characterized by extreme fatigue that can really, you really can't put your finger on it. Just some vague things like the exhaustion and the physical pain, and it can't be explained by an underlying medical condition, and that's what makes it so hard to pinpoint and why sometimes people go through a lot of different tests and examinations and things before it's actually determined. And as Becky has shared with us, it really can be a debilitating disease that robs you of the energy to enjoy a quality of life that everybody deserves. Becky is the author of My Battle with Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, which is an incredible book, a wonderful resource and great tool chronicling her struggle with the disease. She says, "We don't die, but our life is taken away from us." And that's what happens with folks who are suffering with chronic fatigue syndrome. She says after 3 years of keeping sort of that stiff upper lip and reminding herself that things could be worse, she had to step back and sort of mourn her loss. The experience, all of it, from A to Z, inspired her to finally sit down and process this profound change in her life. The result is her book, My Battle with Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Really an amazing story, and we're so honored to welcome back Becky Butcher to our show. Becky, thank you so very much for joining us here on CUTV News Radio. It is a real honor, and it is a real pleasure, and I know, you know, today is not exactly the best day, but weather-wise, but it's always good to have you back. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Jim. It's nice to be back.
So let's talk more about what we're exploring, what you've been sharing with us here on CUTV News Radio, which, again, we really thank you for doing it because you are inspiring so many people and you're sharing your story in such a beautiful way with our audience.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked last week about things like having to hold the walls and, you know, as you're walking you know, in a hallway holding the walls to stay up, and just things like that that a lot of us don't even think about on a day-to-day basis. Let's talk a little bit about the day-to-day for you. How do you actually have, again, somebody might be listening to us right now who's going through something similar, mm-hmm. but they haven't been able to pinpoint it yet. How do you, on a daily basis, have enough energy to go about your day when you wake up? Day by day, one day you can feel like $1 million, next day, not so hot. How do you create the stamina you need to get through each day, Becky?
Well, there's no way to really create it, Jim. It just kind of, I've learned to look at every new day as an adventure. I never know what it's going to bring. Some days I wake up and I feel, you know, like, oh, I have this to do today and that to do today. And, it, you know, I just, there's really no way to know. It's just something I kind of know when I wake up. I know my system, and I've gotten used to the pattern of it. And then other mornings I wake up halfway in tears, like, how am I going to get through the day? I've got this to do. I've got that to do. I've got the other thing to do. And I wind up worrying how I'm going to get it done. But it's just, it varies with every day. I mean, there are good times and good times. As I can define a good time when I'm operating at about 40%. And
yeah, absolutely.
It's just kind of a day-by-day thing. And about the only thing you can really do is just kind of rest up, take care of yourself. If you need to sleep, sleep. Just, you know, eat as well as you can, take vitamins, just anything that any doctor would tell you. It's really all you can do, because it's really not, it's so random, there's really not a way to manage it. I mean, people would say, oh, well, you know, just sleep a little more and you'll be okay for tomorrow. Well, it doesn't necessarily work that way. It's not always a matter of just resting. Your immune system's going to do what it's going to do when it's going to do it.
That's
basically
how
this is.
It's right, exactly. It's moment by moment. We talked about your writing the book, My Battle with Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, which is available at Amazon and also at your website, too.
Sure.
This was part of a morning process, cathartic, a morning process for you in sharing and putting everything down on paper, sort of helping you navigate the disease and move forward from it. What would you say you're able to do then? And again, this could be for people, too, that are listening to the show who are going through something similar. Some of the things you've been able to do to bring yourself back to that sense of normalcy.
Well, I don't know if I'll ever be normal physically again, to be honest with you. It's been going on for 10 years, and I think I've pretty much accepted the fact that I may never be 100% again. But, you know, basically meditate, pray. I've gotten a lot of help. I mean, most of my sense of non-normalcy, so to speak, if you will, has been spiritually and mentally and emotionally. And I really got to a dark spot, and I think we discussed this last week, where I was actually sitting at the beauty parlor. I had hair color on my hair, and I was looking down reading a magazine, and I looked up in the mirror, and Jim, I saw a person I never wanted to see again. I mean, just the look in my eyes, the anger, the bitterness, the meanness. I just saw the darkness and the anger I never wanted to see again. And I almost started crying right there at the beauty parlor. But when I got home, I just started crying. I thought, I can't do this. This is tearing me up inside. I saw it in my eyes, Jim. I thought, I can't do this anymore. And I had known for several years that I needed help. But, you know, it's awfully hard to admit that you need help, because, I mean, when that happens, and you actually say it to yourself, then it becomes real.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes real. And I thought I was doing okay because it wasn't, quote, unquote, real, because I never really talked about it that much.
So there really is a psychological and emotional aspect to every day for you.
Yeah, and I guess I just didn't realize how it was festering in me. And it became almost an open sore that didn't heal because I didn't do anything about it. And I went home and I called my church and I requested a Stephen minister, which is, it's somebody who goes through training. It's you know, it's a spiritual counselor, more or less. And they go through training and they counsel you one-on-one. Men counsel men, women counsel women, and it's confidential. And I counseled with her for 2 years. I was that bad. And Jim, it was just like, It was like unlayering. It's like peeling the layers of an onion down to a rotten core. And let me tell you, there was a rotten core there. And I talked with her for 2 years, and that is what did it for me. You know, you have to get it out. Yeah. You can't just deal with it quietly. Talk to somebody who can help you, because it will eat you up.
Absolutely. You've touched on the spiritual component to how you cope with the disease. Explain that a little bit more for us, the spiritual component as well. Did you have to really search your soul deep within inside, and then also, like you're saying, go for other support, counseling from a spiritual viewpoint and perspective?
I didn't really talk to anybody else except my ministers off and on through the years, and they would try to encourage me. But you're here. You're here, and you're smiling, and that's inspiring. People look at you, and they know what can be done. They know how you suffer. They know what you have, but yet you walk in with a smile on your face every week, and you inspire people, and they would keep telling me that through the years. I didn't always buy it, granted, depending on where I was spiritually or emotionally, but they kept telling me that, and now I actually believe it. And, you know, prayer. I pray a lot. I mean, I found that meaningful books and meaningful verses in the Bible, that they do help. I mean, it's basically spiritually how I get through the day now. And, you know, I used to handle a bad day not very good, just angry and in tears and just, oh, man. I take it out on whoever was around at the time, which was not good. And, you know, even I handle my worst days better. I handle my worst days knowing this isn't going to last forever. God, get me through this day. God, I have forced myself to set up no matter how bad I was. God, help me get me through this day. And he has.
If there's somebody listening to the show right now who are going through those similar range of emotions, anger, frustration, disappointment, everything else that comes into play, sometimes some emotions you never even realize you had.
Exactly.
That's
exactly what happened.
These are the steps that you recommend people taking to get through and deal with some of the psychological or emotional aspects of it on a day-to-day basis. Otherwise, it can eat you up alive, right? You can really just stay in your chair and never go anywhere, never participate anymore in life.
And it's a very hard life. It's very isolating. It's very isolating because you can't get out and do much. But I always did, like, you know, even years ago, if I could get out, if I felt well enough where I could get out, I did it. You can't sit home all the time, Jim. That's not going to help either. I mean, if you feel like you can try and get out, you don't have to stay for 2 hours, you know, and you can come home. I mean, just do for yourself. Come home if you have to. Relax if you have to. But my advice, try to get out of the house, because sitting there doesn't make it go away either.
You need that vitamin D, the warmth of the sun, the air. Absolutely.
Right.
Go to a park. Get, you know, also stay connected with people. People who care, people who matter, because that is huge. You got to have that human connection. We were all
born to.
Well,
you have to have the support, exactly.
We're all born to communicate and depend on each other.
Yes.
Now, let's talk a little bit more. I think we touched a little bit on it, or at least teased everybody about it. The spoon strategy. you know, now to me, the spoon strategy is when I take my big spoon and I scoop it into a big bowl of vanilla ice cream. That's my spoon strategy. But I think it's a little bit different, isn't it? Tell us about the spoon strategy.
Well, actually, a friend of mine, I met her on dailystrengths.org. We started talking. She's in New Jersey. And she told me about it initially. And then I have a friend who has fibromyalgia, and she posted it on Facebook. And what it is you're given 10 spoons. And each spoon is a task. Each spoon is a dose of energy that you have to do something within a 12 or 24-hour day, however long you happen to be up. Now, I get up. I make my breakfast, I take a shower, and I get cleaned up. That's 3 spoons. I've had my breakfast, I've showered, I've cleaned up. I've used 3 doses of energy right there out of the 10 that I'm given. Let's see. If I do my breakfast dishes, and if I put them away, that's 2 more. I've only been up for maybe an hour and a half. I've already used half my spoon. See where this is going? see where this is headed.
Yeah.
I don't have many spoons
yeah.
left, so
yeah.
that means I have to plan my day very wisely.
Yeah, yep.
And that's
Absolutely, the
spoon theory. And I found that it really works. I mean, when you explain it like that, Jim, people get it. They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
In fact, when I went for disability, because the day before I'd spoken to my attorney, and we were talking, and she had a couple questions, and I said, well, think of it like this. And I told that to her. And she really got it then. And then when we got before the judge the next day, she kind of giggled, and she said, no, I would like you to tell the judge the story of the spoons. And, you know, that was the best thing I could have done because he got it. I mean, the judge even understood. Then he understood, like, oh, okay. You know, but then he just kind of was able to put it together. In other words, you've used five spoons. You've been up an hour. You've got how many hours left?
Right,
you have to
exactly.
be careful.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, chronic fatigue syndrome, still people, even though obviously it's been around for a while now and people have accepted it and started to really understand it and work
mm-hmm.
with it, in the early stages, like for somebody that's listening to us right now,
right.
Do you have people at all who say things who aren't that supportive in the beginning? Things like, oh, you're just being lazy, or come on, get over it, or, you know, what are you, depressed, or do you have anxiety? Come on, let's go. You know, drink a couple cups of coffee, take an energy drink, increase vitamin C, just get out there and walk a mile. In the beginning, and you might even be saying that to yourself in the beginning, not knowing in the beginning what it is,
mm-hmm.
you find that to be the case sometimes. A lot of inflicted wounds that you do yourself, as well as some that come from people around who have no idea what's going on and what you're going through.
You know, I've never had anybody say anything like that to me. I was lucky. I was kind of lucky.
You are very
probably
lucky.
The worst.
Yeah.
Well, probably the worst of it was well-meaning people. Well, did you have your thyroid checked? Did you get enough sleep? Well, maybe you have low blood pressure. I mean, okay, it was annoying because it kind of belittled what I have. That's the thing. People mean well, Jim, but they don't realize how it can devalue what you're going through. I don't think people
don't
always mean to be mean. In fact, I think most of them are trying to help, and that's basically what it was with me. My frustration was people didn't understand. They weren't mean, but they didn't understand. And I guess looking back, unless they go through it themselves, how can they? Really?
Yeah.
But people might. In fact,
yeah,
I even had somebody say to me, well, why don't you eat a hamburger?
Yeah.
A hamburger? What good's that going to do?
There
again,
all
well
for the
meaning,
protein and energy, and that's right. Yeah, exactly. So what would you say then, Becky? Can you share anything from the book itself? I would love to hear, you know, maybe a couple of lines or something from the book where you really get into a description of things. Do you have the book nearby where you'd be able to maybe share a little bit?
I have one nearby. Let me run and get a copy of it here. Let's see.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Just so
sure.
the audience can get a flavor for the book, because we're talking a lot about the disease itself and strategies, things of that nature. But I think when they hear a passage or two from the book itself, again, we're talking about my battle with chronic fatigue syndrome, and we're speaking with chronic fatigue syndrome expert and author Becky Butcher. If you have something you want to share with us, I think that would be wonderful.
You know, actually, I'm going to read you an excerpt that I read. My local library had an author's fair. The first one was last year. And I'll tell you, Jim, by the time I was finished, you could have heard a pin drop. So I'm going to read that a little bit.
Great.
See. Okay. Let's see. My life before chronic fatigue syndrome is the name of the chapter. Before I became ill, my interests were church, cooking, and entertaining friends. I sang in the choir and taught Sunday school. And from 1986 to 2007, I worked in, oh gosh, I'm having a hard time holding it here. 2007, I worked in various clinical laboratories. In 2007, I left the laboratory to pursue a career in culinary arts as cooking had been a lifelong passion of mine. That May, I enrolled in Elgin Community College's Culinary Arts Program with dreams of opening my own catering company with a menu of reasonably priced homemade foods appropriately named The Butcher's Block. In July of that same year, I saw my hopes start to fade. Let's see, let me turn the page here. Oh, I wish I had an automatic page turner. Sorry about this.
Put that on the list for Santa Claus to deliver. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, things were suddenly foggy, in quotes. I literally saw fog in front of my face. I became confused. I would ask the same questions over and over again in class. People became very annoyed with me. It was all I could do just to get up in the morning. Every joint and muscle in my body ached. I remember walking down to the kitchen one afternoon having no idea whatsoever who I was or where I was. After almost 20 years of living alone, I was afraid to live alone. Eventually, I couldn't get out of bed except to eat and to use the washroom. That alone took all the strength I had. I couldn't hold a simple conversation, but there was nothing clinically wrong with me. My physical examinations were fine. My lab work was fine. For all practical purposes, I was fine. But I wasn't. I was terrified. The irony of it all was after 20 years of helping others, I was helpless to myself. There I was with all this knowledge, and I didn't know what to do with any of it. I knew too much but didn't know anything. In 2007, at the age of 43, I thought I was going to die. And that's the truth, Jim. It was horrifying.
I don't doubt that. Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. And then some of those symptoms that you were experiencing, can you elaborate a little bit more again? I know we talked about it a little bit last week, but for people tuning into today's episode who might be new to the show, then at that point, 2007, what are some other things that you were starting to experience physically and every other way? Something's not right here.
Brain fog was so severe. Like I said, I didn't know who I was or where I was, and I literally saw the fog in front of my face. I mean, it was like, have you ever walked into a sauna where you can just see the steam?
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
What did you initially think
was happening to you? Did you think stroke? Did you think diabetes? Did you think reactions to maybe medicines? Because sometimes medicines and other things can create certain side effects. Did you think other things first were happening to you?
Jim, I had no idea. Yeah. I mean, this is what I say. You know something's wrong with your body. This is unlike anything you've ever had. This is not the flu. This is the flu 10 times over. This is, you know, it's not just a cold. It's not just a virus. It is something wrong. I mean, when something like this happens to you, Jim, I mean, you know, honestly, have you ever heard of anything like this? Has anything like this ever happened to you? This is unlike anything.
Right, exactly. Now, at that point, did you pursue did you go right to traditional medicine, your primary care doctor, and go through the routine of, you know, the checkups and blood work and all the specific things that are done? And then did you also pursue alternative therapies like acupuncture, massage therapy, yoga, things of that nature too?
Well, initially I went to my primary care, who referred me to a neurologist. You know, she said, I just want to make sure this isn't anything neurologic. I don't want to miss anything. I mean, you know, she examined me, gave me a thorough exam. She took my blood pressure standing up. She took it laying down first, and then she took it standing up to see if it would drop, because, you know, there's such a thing called hyperpostural blood pressure where it drops when you stand up. And
lightheaded. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything came back fine.
Yeah, everything came back fine. But I went to the neurologist, and he drew. In fact, I demanded that he do some more blood work, because my primary care physician, she drew blood, but it wasn't back yet, and she got me in to see the neurologist the next day, and I was talking to him, and he said, well, I have to wait for your blood count to come back. I said, I don't care. I said, there is something wrong with me. I said, you've got to get to the bottom of this. I said, this is serious. I said, I'm actually scared. And I was in the medical profession, Jim, so I wasn't scared of much. And I would have a clue about certain things. but I had no clue about this. And then it came back that, because he drew a viral panel, and the Epstein-Barr virus, which also causes mono, it was like 20 times what it should have been. 20 times what it should have been. It was high. And that's how he found this with me. And initially I went to, he referred me to an infectious disease specialist, and I tried, and she tried, because I guess antidepressants, they have a side effect of making you feel better, maybe giving you more energy. I'm not quite sure how that works. But
sort of masks thing, yeah.
Well, I'm not really sure about that, but I can't really say anymore. But it gave me energy, all right, Jim. I was so tremulous. I shook like a leaf, and it gave me seizures. I couldn't take it. I couldn't tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we tried different things, and because once I was really sick, and my wonderful church has Hosanna Lutheran Church in St. Charles, they have this wonderful ministry where if you're sick, or if you just had a baby, or if there's a death in the family, they have a ministry that will bring you food. And this one lady who coordinates it, she said she goes to a chiropractor who had chronic fatigue syndrome herself, and she treated people with CFS and fibro, and she gave me her, her name and her address, and she gave me like a little CD to watch. And I went to her, and honestly, Jim, that's the only thing that's helped. That actually got me out of bed. I'm not cured. I've been being treated for almost, 10 years now? I'm not cured, but, Jim, it helps. I find relief from it. I can actually function.
Right.
I'm in a much better place than where I was, put it that way.
Would you say that you are optimistic?
Well, optimistic about my life. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I'm very positive about my life. Optimistic that I'll ever be the same? No. And it's okay. It's okay, Jim, because, after talking to the Stephen minister and gotten so much input from so many wonderful people in my life, okay, I'm not 100%, but I'm an example. I can inspire. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm talking on this show. I'm trying to help people. I write books. I want to get the word out. And, maybe I can't do that when I'm 100%. Maybe people really need to see that I'm not, but I'm doing it anyway.
Exactly right. Right.
It's easy to look at somebody, she's fine now. Oh, yeah, look at her. Maybe it's more credible and more believable. Oh, maybe if people don't see me looking too good sometimes, But
exactly.
I think I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I think this is what I'm supposed to do with it. That's where I am now.
You definitely are a real source of inspiration, Becky. And
thank you.
We thank you for all that you're sharing with us. It's really, I want to get to the website, Becky Butcher. That's Becky, B-E-C-K-I-E, Butcher, B-U-T-C-H-E-R.
No,
S, dot com.
Middle initial. S,
yes.
Middle initial.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, say it again. Go ahead, say the whole thing.
B-E-C-K-I-E-S. B-U-T-C-H-E-R.
.com.
.com.
And then also
right.
The book is available at Amazon as well. So might be able to help somebody who's listening to our show right now. Becky, thanks for joining us. You'll be back next week as well. We'll continue our wonderful conversation. And we thank you for joining us today. It was a real pleasure.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. Thank you for joining us, everybody, as well. I'm Jim Masters, CU TV News Radio. We wish you a wonderful day. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to CU TV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CU TV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.